This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. Today on In Focus, we visit the Mississippi Valley Textile Museum, located in the former Rosamond Woolen Mill, now a National Historic Site in the town of Almont. The museum's curator and executive director, Michael Reichley Lancaster, brings to life the rich history of the textile industry and the effects it had on the lives of the woolen mill workers. Welcome, Michael. Nice to have you join us today.
Thank you.
You know, this is Museum Month, so it's really nice to be able to feature your museum and the work that you do there. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I just wondered if we could start with a little bit of the history of the site itself and what makes this location the ideal setting for a woolen mill back in the day.
It was a perfect location just of the natural landscape and on all the waterfalls throughout Almont and the Mississippi Valley. Just made an ideal location for that natural resource to make power for the mills to do their production.
Was the mill a central employer, or was it really central to the survival of the town in that day?
Well, yeah, certainly. The Rosamond Woolen Company ran for 100 plus years, and in its operation, it was the biggest employer of the region. It would have been at least 50%, if not more, of the community worked in the woolen mill. So the community grew because of the woolen mill starting here, especially the Rosamond Woolen Company because of its size. And for 40 years of its history, was the largest woolen mill in Canada.
Is that right? So when did the site become an actual museum then? When did you take over with that? And were you in there at the very beginning?
The museum started in this location in the early 1990s, and I got involved in the late 90s as a summer student, and now I've been employed here as the curator for the last coming on 15 years.
Goodness. And you've done so much in that time as well. I'm just wondering how you did indicate that this is really unique, to have an industrial textile museum in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah. There's not many that certainly focus on that textile industrial history. I think there's maybe about three across Canada. So there's not a huge amount that focus specifically on that or have that element within their museum. So it's very exciting to showcase that unique part of our community.
It really helps to put Almont on the map, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So in preserving the history of the textile industry, how do you showcase that at the museum?
So we have several different ways that we've been showcasing that. And one newer element that we launched with our municipality in summer of 2020 was our mill workers walk. So what we did is we worked to recreate a former workers shortcut in town, and recreated that as a sidewalk, and then recreated what was there, a mill workers staircase shortcut, and built a new stairs that are an easy walking point in town and has opened up a whole new area of town that people never really saw before. So it's made this whole new walk with 20 exhibit panels along the walk talking about the history of the industry and the workers.
It's really incredible. I've taken that walk a couple of times. And as you say, I think it really has opened that up to people that didn't even know it was there. Mm-hmm. And incredible to see all the plaques as well, outlining the history of the woolen mill.
Yes, it's been wonderful. And it was perfect time to open that exhibition with the town in the summer of 2021, because people were locked in so many lockdowns, mm-hmm. that to open that up, people, right. Just the amount of people I saw walking past the museum and the amount of engagement happening, and people were just so thrilled to have that connection to history. And it was we've seen such positive comments and remarks and positive engagement.
people walking now, getting out walking and seeing things that they never did before because of COVID, right?
So yeah.
It was really a help in that way, I suppose.
Yes.
Now, a couple of years ago, you received an award, the Resilient Historic Places Award. What mm-hmm. did that mean for you and the museum?
It meant a couple of major things. One, just the what the volunteers, boards, and staff have done in the past 10 to 12 years of major conservation and restoration of our facility, and getting recognized for that on a national scale meant the world, because you put so much in and you don't always realize how much you're putting in over the years and how hard you're working to get grants and how hard you're working to make sure the conservation or the restoration of your facility as a National Historic Site is being done correctly. And it's just that pride in what we've accomplished, and the fact that during that time, we also made our facility accessible, and we also embraced 2S LGBTQIA plus community members. And mm-hmm. that was really a big part of what they recognized in that grant, or in that award, sorry.
Right. And so this is hence the word resilient. Mm-hmm. In that award, right? A coming back and recognizing and showing reverence, right? Mm-hmm. For different groups of people, including the Algonquin, our Algonquin ancestors as well. Reverence for the space that you now occupy.
Yes. Right. I think it's very important for museums to embrace and learn with your communities how to tell their stories.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that you go so much further than just recounting history, preserving history. You delve a lot deeper into the lives of the people and how it affected them. Do you want to talk about that for a minute? I think that's very interesting. It's not just about artifacts and what you just walk in and see in a museum. You take it much further than that.
Yeah, and one way we've been doing that is we're going to be reopening shortly our permanent history exhibit, which is going to be named Material World on the Mississippi. And what we are doing within that exhibition is the local mill workers will be telling their stories of working in the mill in that exhibition on video. But then we're also adding to it information about what was going on for marginalized people throughout history. Just to put that context into, because I've had many people say, well, you can't talk about certain histories. And to me, when you have thousands of mill workers working in the mill industry in your community, you can talk about marginalized communities because you can't say there weren't marginalized people working in the mills.
Right. You know, such a variety of people. And how many hundreds of people would you have working in there at the time?
Well, at any given time, it was up to 300-400 people working in just the Rosman Mill alone. And then there were seven other woolen mills in town. So when you start putting that together, mm-hmm. that's at least mm-hmm. 50 to 70% of your population.
My goodness, that's a lot. So were some of the mill workers, when did the mill close as an operating mill?
It closed in the 1980s. So, I mean, okay. and there's many other mills within the valley that closed even later than that into the 90s and even early 2000s. So
is that right?
Yeah.
So there's still people living and quite able to tell their stories now then.
That's correct.
That work there.
One thing we've really engaged in is in the past few years, we've done about 50 oral histories of former textile mill workers. So that's throughout this new exhibition. You'll be hearing their stories of working in the mill, and they'll talk about working on the specific machines and what it was like. And yeah.
That's incredible. So some of the mill workers that may have passed on before this, were any stories documented by them, their voices taped or anything like that back in the day?
We have a few, probably from the 80s or into the 90s. So we do have some, not a lot, seeing as the museum only really started in the 90s. And I don't know that people were doing recordings prior to that, or at least none I've come across.
Right. So I'm just wondering, what kind of experience do you want visitors to have when they come to the museum?
I want them to see a well-rounded discussion on all aspects of textile mill worker life. So looking at it from all perspectives of what did it do to the indigenous people when the industry started taking over? What did it do to the land? How did it disrupt communities and how did it help communities? So just looking at all aspects of it, mm-hmm. and not just one aspect of the history.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. I think it's interesting the way you've not only interpreted the history, but also look at how it's affected the workers' lives in all those respects that you're talking about, environmentally and socially, culturally, politically, and everything, right?
Yeah. I think it's very important to look at all the aspects. And as we learn more, we grow and more knowledge can be shared, and it's empowering.
Mm-hmm. What are you offering now in the way of exhibits and education? I understand you want it to be, or it is, in fact, an education center right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, right now we have an art exhibit that's currently being showcased. It's Color with a U, and it's by SACA, which is the Studio Art Quilt Association, and it's a traveling exhibition. It's art quilts. And it's all focused on diversity and inclusion. And it's a beautiful rainbow of colors in this exhibition and just the talent. And so you just must come. It's such a celebratory, beautiful, cheerful exhibition that you'll just feel so empowered after seeing it, but also seeing the brilliant talent that's being showcased.
The color of you, the color with a U, I should say.
Yes.
Yes, Canadians spell color with a U. And what other words come to mind for you that represents that kind of touring show?
It represents celebrating the differences in people, the unique differences of diversity and inclusion. And just so when you say you, it's about the people around you, everyone. And so it's just a beautiful celebratory exhibition, but the work and the creativity throughout it is brilliant as well.
Michael, let's talk a little bit more about the historic trails. And you've mentioned the walkers walk, the workers walk and staircase. Are there any other trails that or any other aspects that you'd like to talk about as far as the historic aspect goes?
What I find most magic about the workers' sidewalk and stairs and the OVRT trail through town is just the amount of beautiful scenic views, but also the great stories that are told on the panels along the way. And you really get a sense of place. And just thinking about the thousands of workers a day just taking that shortcut. And when you really start thinking about that, it's really quite beautiful, emotional, but also you get a sense too, when you're walking it, you see the architecture, you see the mill workers' cottages, there's so many of them, and you really get a sense of the place and the people.
And you really do get that feeling when you do experience that, when you go on that walk. I know it's interesting. Michael, I just wanted to have a little fun with you today. I have a couple of trivia questions I'd like to ask you.
Ooh. Challenge.
Surprise, surprise. I'm just wondering, you know, there's so many stories that are wool related, so many sayings that are wool related. This is just kind of fun. I just thought of this before we went on the air. And, you know, one of the sayings is when you pull the wool over someone's eyes. Mm-hmm. Where did that originate? What do you think it means? And where did that originate, do you think?
Well, I don't know if I know the correct answer, but I'm going to guess.
Okay.
For me, it certainly resonates to the history of the woolen industry. And if you're working in a mill and you're working anywhere around the fleece and the production of that, it would be snowing in the gallery. So in the mill.
Right.
It would look like it was snowing of fleece. So
fleece. Did you say fleece?
Yeah.
Okay. Not fleas.
No.
Okay.
So
it would be snowing. So that means you wouldn't be able to see very well?
Yeah.
You'd be fooled about something. Is that
That's right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other trivia question is, what does dyed in the wool mean? I mean, dyed with a Y.
That would be using either chemicals, or you can use natural product to dye or color a fabric or a fleece.
Yes, but I just wonder how we got that expression. They say, oh, yeah, he's a dyed-in-the-wool, whatever, stickler for details, or he's a, you know, somebody that won't change, somebody that's strong in their opinions. And I just wonder how that relates to wool and dyeing wool.
Probably the permanency of the dye once it interacts with the thread fabric, that permanency, that stability.
Okay. I think you did very well for two surprise questions.
There you go.
Michael, is there anything else you wanted to add that we haven't covered today?
Just that I look forward to seeing everyone at the museum and all museums within the region. It's wonderful to celebrate the museums this month and get out and see them and visit them.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Michael. Museum month, the month of May, and weather's great now. Let's get out and do that. Okay.
Yes.
And I want to thank you very much. It's interesting, as always, chatting with you. And good luck with all the great things you're doing there. And have a wonderful summer, Michael.
Thank you.
My guest, Michael Reichle Lancaster, is the executive director and curator of the Mississippi Valley Textile Museum in Elmont. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
In Focus on Lake 88.